And
that
I was,
cowboy hat didn't bring you an ounce of cowboy bravery. Sitting there jumping from animated alligators. Hey, dog.
What'd you just say?
I said, hey, dog.
Welcome, everybody, to the Bob and Katie Show. You gotta come on. Come on, you can do it.
You started out like mid laugh. I'm Katie.
And I'm Bob. That dog thinks it's a cat, right?
He's a weird one.
He thinks he's a cat.
I don't know how big he is. I don't even know how much he weighs.
He's real big.
But he's real big. He's like a German Shepherd mix. He's like a German Shepherd with long, skinny legs. It's like if a German Shepherd and a coyote had a baby.
Oh, that's what he looks like.
Yeah, yeah, it's that's a good job. Kind of like thicker mm-hmm. body, ears, like, you know, all that, but like skinny legs. I don't know.
And his paws and are like just, they're big, and he uses them like hands.
And this huge behind dog mm-hmm. thinks he's supposed to sleep on the coffee table.
Yeah, he gets up on the coffee because the cat did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he watched the cat do it and now he does it.
This poor dog and our poor cat, mm-hmm. neither have really been raised around other fellow species men, mm-hmm. you know, other dogs or other cats. And
I like this theory.
I'm stuttering. They've taken on
today, Junior.
In some ways, I mean, animals have instincts, and no matter what environment you put them in or who they're around, they're going to have those instincts. But they do pick up on some things from each other and from us. I pick on the cat. It's a ongoing thing in our house every morning that our cat, he's the most regular member of the household
when it comes to pooping
to his morning routine. He wants to be fed as soon as my eyes open.
We're less than 5 minutes and we're already in poop stories. It's a record.
And then after he gets done eating his fill, then he drinks his water, and then he goes to use his litter box. And usually around the time he's using the litter box, we're all kind of just waking up, hanging out in the living room. I'm drinking my coffee.
Oh, and it smells terrible.
And we all, like, Sherb will come running out of the bathroom, and we're like, oh, Sherb, he blew it up.
Yeah, these, oh, man.
But yeah, the dog, he's watched the cat sleep on the coffee table enough times that his giant behind, he just started crawling up there. I think I'll sleep here.
And now he doesn't want to go out in the backyard to use the bathroom. Like, I don't understand that. That's a weird one.
I've never had a dog before. I've had lots of dogs in my life, but I've never had one that was just like, I'm not going to go outside anymore.
Yeah.
I want to stay in here where everything's soft.
He's house trained.
Yeah. He uses the bathroom outside.
He
will hold it.
For like, he's held it for like 12, 13 hours. Because we'll open the door and he's like, he won't go out. So finally, I was like, well, I'm just going to have to pick him up.
It was take
him outside.
It was a progression. He started, like, a few months ago, he would go outside, but he would, I mean, like, if he wasn't using the bathroom, he would go climb on top of the picnic table.
Mm-hmm.
And he would lay down on the picnic table or sometimes stand. And then from there, he watched the kids get on the trampoline. And somehow, I don't really know if there was a chair there. There was some way he was able to by himself get on the trampoline.
He got stuck.
No, I went out there to.
Did he poop on the trampoline?
No. I let him out one day.
Uh-huh.
And this is when he still would go outside on his own free will. And I went out there to check on him. Dog. I opened the door. I didn't see him. And he didn't run up to me. And I look. And he's just standing on the trampoline looking at me.
His claws are so sharp.
He doesn't understand that that's not for him. He's like, oh, well, the kids did it. Kind of like the cat on the coffee table was like, oh, look, the kids play on here. So I'm going to do it. And I had to go on the trampoline and pick him up and get him off.
I think if we weren't worried about the trampoline getting popped because he's just got sharp claws, he would get up there and jump because he likes to jump. He jumps in the kitchen. Wow.
He has springy feet.
Why don't we get normal pets?
I don't know.
We have a string of just every pet we get is just unusual in some weird way.
We had a poodle years ago before we got married.
Yeah.
And like around the time we got married. And everyone was like, yeah, poodles are so intelligent. Yeah,
you can't make fun of that poodle. He had a mental disability.
Ours was not intelligent. Like, he was not smart at all. Like, he was a very, very not intelligent dog. I loved him, but he was not for his smarts. I did not love him for his smarts.
He was.
Bless his little heart.
Something else.
Man. That's the dog I called you at work one day. I was like, babe, this was like before we were married. So 16 years ago, I called you at work and I was like, I need you to come home as soon as you possibly can. And you're like, wow, what's wrong? I was like, it's the dog. What's wrong with the dog? This poodle's long hair has gotten tangled and
it's formed a net around his anus.
Went outside to use the bathroom and it didn't go anywhere. It did not leave. So the dog is outside and he's waiting for you to come home and help me handle this.
Oh, so you weren't even going to let him back in the house?
Oh, no. Well, I think that's how I found out. He came back inside and I was like, what is that smell? It's like, Luigi, come here. Let me check you out.
Get back out. Go. Get out of here.
I was like, oh, no. You got to go outside. Don't worry, baby. Daddy will be home soon to help you out. You had to, like, get scissors and, oh, my gosh. Like, I had to hold him and comfort him. And you had to get scissors and, like, cut this really disgusting knot off of his backside.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't miss that dog at all.
That's so mean.
Well, he can't hear me. It's not, I'm just being honest with you. Like, I remember having the dog, and there were moments where he was cute and funny and whatnot, but like, that wasn't a pet. That was a job, having that dog. Like, there wasn't, having to take care of him, it outweighed anything else. Like, he wasn't smart, so you had to constantly just guide him through life. And then his hair. He'd go blind. Didn't we have to cut out of his eyes, like, most of the time?
He had to have regular haircuts.
It was so wild.
He was a very needy dog.
And the other dog knew.
And as I say that, we have one sitting here crying.
He's whining.
For no good reason.
He wants to sit in our laps.
He's just not close enough.
Yeah. The other dog knew. That's the crazy part. Mario knew that dog wasn't right. And he treated him like that.
Yeah.
He treated him like, hey, man, just let me handle this, okay? Like, he took the lead on everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And then when he would get upset, when Mario would get upset, he would bite the other dog for no reason. He would be like, I'll bite him because what's he going to do?
I think it was like a dominance thing, maybe? I don't know.
I guess. Mm. Do you want some of this candy I made in prison? Speaking of weird dogs. Tell that story. That's pretty funny.
So I just looked down at the table like, what candy? I was looking for candy.
Oh, man.
What was Reese watching the other day?
You don't remember what he was watching?
I forgot.
Okay. All right. Here's the deal. Our kids, you know, they have access to a couple of tablets, just like all kids nowadays.
Whatever it was, something old. What was it?
They were watching something. And they've got a little bit of freedom. You remember. Yeah. They got a little bit of freedom on, you know, the tablets and what they watch. But we always keep an ear out and we try to monitor what they watch. And if something...
We have all the settings set. They can't buy anything. We got them locked down.
But
they
sometimes...
They have access to what we give them access
sometimes
to.
Sometimes they do get access to something that's inappropriate and we have to shut it down, right? But you and I were standing in the kitchen and we both heard it. We both heard it. He was watching something, and a woman goes, "Hey, do you want some of this candy I made in prison?" And we were like, "Whoa!" Whatever you're watching is wildly inappropriate, and we're going to turn it off. And we went to him.
Both of us said, "Reese, what are you watching?"
Yeah, and it turns out he was just watching an old episode of Scooby-Doo. Yeah, like,
it was like my favorite show when I was
kid. And I turned and looked at you, and I was like, what do we do right now?
Did we make him turn Scooby-Doo off?
Because things definitely, back in the day, were a little more, you know, risque than the cartoons today. But yeah, that was...
Ultimately, we didn't make him turn it off.
No, he's like, you watch Scooby-Doo. That, well, that's a weird moment in time.
But. I don't know the context, but I mean, he was still sitting there watching. It wasn't anything like crazy going on.
Nah.
The comment that was made, it was within the context of, you know, the bad guy scenario in Scooby-Doo. And anyway, but yeah, it just,
my heart
as
dropped.
A parent, when you're,
because he's five,
I was in the kitchen making dinner. So that's your thing. You have your radar on and you're listening with your, you know,
you want some mom, of this candy I made in prison, boy?
Your mom eyes.
Whoa. Yeah.
And yeah, we tough. Both were like, what is that? What are you watching?
And then not to mention, we were just coming off of a rough week. Rough 2 weeks. Rough 3 weeks. The kids for what, 2 weeks? There was a kid sick every day.
Oh no. It was 3 weeks. It started on a Tuesday.
You know what day it started?
It started on a Tuesday, mm-hmm. and it ended on a Friday, 3 weeks later.
Anybody who gets queasy with sick stories.
This is your warning, yeah. Because I'm telling you every day. from that Tuesday through Friday, 3 weeks later.
I didn't sleep in my own bed for weeks.
So it started on a Tuesday. Reese came home from school and he was like, "Mommy, I'm not feeling well."
The 5-year-old.
So I get him home from school and check his temperature, and he has fever. And it was pretty high, I think. I can't remember now.
I know it never got to 104, but it was definitely over 103 a couple times.
Yeah. So anyway, he was running a fever, and come to find out, he had strep throat. And mm-hmm. he was sick, running a fever, vomiting for 5 entire days.
Yeah, it was rough.
To the point, I had taken him to the doctor, and that's how we found out it was strep. They had given him a note, and I can't remember. So yeah, he came home from Tuesday, so he was out of school Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we had the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So the doctor was like, yeah, he should be able to go back on Monday. They had put him on antibiotics and everything. Well, it was Sunday night. We were putting him to bed, and he was still throwing up. And I was like, kid, are you ever going to get well? Like, come on. So I ended up having to keep him out an extra day. And then, so he went back to school on Tuesday.
And for all of these days, at night, you had him sleeping with you.
Yes.
With a bucket.
Yes.
Because that's the situation. So I was sleeping on the couch downstairs.
So he went back to school like... the following Tuesday.
Yeah, 7 days later.
And then the next day, Wednesday, I think it was Riley. Riley got sick.
Yeah. Child number
Long
two.
Story short, he had strep throat.
Yeah.
Friday, Reagan came down with strep throat. So they overlapped from like Friday, mm-hmm. Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Riley went back to school like either Monday or Tuesday the next week. And then Lisa Reagan was like a day or so behind him. I can't remember. It's all a blur now. But as soon as the last kid got well from strep throat, like it was like an overlap because I'm really unclear of when it happened. But it seemed like
there was never a moment of everybody's okay.
Like there was vomit in our house every day,
every room.
So as soon as they got over strep throat, we had an overlap somewhere in there, yeah. And everybody. Came down with this awful stomach virus. I think it was Reese that got it first. It started with strep with Reese and then went through all the kids. And then I think you and
it got,
I.
Yeah, it got us both. Yeah.
You definitely had it.
Yeah, I was pretty messed up for a while.
I may have had it. I don't know. If I had it, I wasn't bad off. I had like a scratchy throat.
Oh, if you had strep.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If I had it at all.
You definitely got the stomach bug.
Oh, yeah. But that was at the very end. I was the very last person to get sick.
Yeah.
So the stomach bug went through everybody in our house. Yep. And like, I'm talking the massive vomiting, diarrhea.
Yeah.
It's like it hits hard, but it's over with in like a day.
Yeah.
But for that one day, it's on.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean,
it's uncomfortable for you, for anybody else in the house.
You can't go anywhere. You can't, like,
there.
It's just awful.
There was so many people vomiting in our house that at one point,
there were large bowls stationed around our house.
We had bowls everywhere, trash in cans. The cars, like.
We didn't then, go in the car without there being no, some.
There had to be
some vessel to catch vomit.
Somebody went to throw up, and it was a child downstairs, and they ran into the bathroom, and everybody's in the living room, and just acted like it wasn't happening. Like that's how often
we were like jaded by that point. We're like, oh yeah, someone's vomiting. This is just what we do now. Somebody's always vomiting.
Yeah,
it was just every day. And we had, how many nights was it that, like, the stomach, but not the strep. It's a blur of vomit and grossness. But when the stomach bug hit, Reese vomited in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And so for dinner that night.
Oh, this is two different vomits that happened in a very short period of time. Yeah. I remember
for
this.
Dinner that night. He had some strawberries mm-hmm. and blueberries,
mm-hmm.
and he'd also had raspberry jelly
mm-hmm. red,
on a
red.
Biscuit. And he drank Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So
much sugar.
Now you put all that in a little belly, and then boom, tummy bug. He vomits in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And it's the reddest thing I've ever seen. And he comes and wakes me up, and he shares a bedroom with Riley, and Riley's asleep on the top bunk. So I'm trying to clean up the vomit and clean up Reese without turning the light on because it's a school night and I don't want to wake Riley up if I don't have to. And I'm seeing vomit that is just, I mean, so red. And
it's scary looking.
There were chunks of strawberry in there that I was like, is this food? I was concerned. It was like a murder scene. It was bad. I had to go like with the paper towel and like look in the light. I'm like,
so make sure everything's okay. There's no chunks of meat in here and stuff.
And so, then the next day.
No. So what he did, just for context of where you're going next, he was laying in the bed and I guess woke up and was nauseous. Out. And he just leaned his head over the bed and just right on the floor. Okay, move on to the next one.
So the next day,
there was a ball game.
Riley, there was a ball game that night. At this point, he's not sick yet. I took Reagan and Riley to their game,
mm-hmm.
and we got food from the concession stand.
Tell
after
Tell everybody
their game.
What you fed them.
They had nachos.
Yep, there we go.
Cheese.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think Riley had chili on his.
Yep, chili cheese nachos.
And they both had a big dill pickle.
A whole pickle.
And to the point, Riley, I was telling him, I was like, Riley, you need to eat your nachos. The pickle can wait. You need to go ahead and eat your nachos because he's just going to town on this pickle. So then you put that in there. Boom, tummy bug. And then the next night, he leans out of bed.
He's in the top bunk. Leans his head over and vomits. Right beside the like ruined carpet from the night before.
Yeah. Which it's really gross to even say this out loud, but at this point it had not been, I had like cleaned it up in the middle of the night, you know, the best I could, but then I didn't go back with the carpet cleaner yet because I like took Reese to the doctor and then, you know, had a sick kid all day and it kind of like was out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
So at bedtime that night, I was like, oh gosh, okay. I'll clean that up in the morning because then it was like dry. Like, oh, that's fine. And then in the middle of the night, then Riley leans over and vomits on top of the red spot from Reese's vomit.
Yeah. Pretty much same exact spot.
So then the next day.
Just to the right of it.
The next day, I'm looking at the stain on the carpet, and it's like, my God. It looks like something from a carpet cleaner commercial where they're like, look at all these stains we made on the floor. Yeah. And they're just like rubbing crap into the carpet and like pouring mustard. And that's kind of what it looked like. And shout out to Bissell.
It did its job.
We thank the good Lord up above. We just bought a carpet cleaner machine a couple months ago because the dog had made our carpet so stinky. And this bad boy, I cannot believe. I'm still amazed. You can't even really tell. It pulled it up.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because
I was amazed.
Because
especially the red one. It was like dried in there.
It looked like McDonald's colors. Because Riley's, it was red, nachos, yellow. Right? Because I went, when he threw up, I went in there to clean it up. You were still laying in the bed.
I woke up in the middle of you. You were up trying to help him clean up.
Yes.
And I woke up and was like, you know, oh, what's going on? And I was like, oh, I need to help him. So I got up and I'm out of it. Yeah. And I see Riley sitting in the hallway by the stairs, and he's just sitting there, and he's holding a roll of paper towels.
Yeah.
I think he had a bowl, too.
Yeah, I sent him downstairs to get paper towels.
And so I walk to the bedroom. I see, you know, what's going on.
And I'm not in the bedroom.
You're not in there. Mm-mm. So then I walk back to our bedroom to find you, because I'm so out of it. So I'm intending to find you and ask you, like, what's where you're at in the process. What can I do to help? What do you need?
Oh.
So I find that our bathroom light is on and the door is closed. I was like, oh, he must be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if you were getting towels, what you were doing. So I walk up to knock on the door.
And what you heard changed your life forever.
And I'm sure if you had seen me, I would have like been like this with my hand up.
Like you're about to knock?
And like as I got close and was about to knock, I hear like a grunt. And so I was like, oh, so it kind of made me stop. So I'm like sitting there like this. And the next sound...
It was aggressive, right?
It was shocking. The next sound I hear sounded very similar to like running water.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, and not just any running water. Like if somebody turned the faucet on like full blast and it's going.
And they put their thumb over it to spray it out real fast. Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, my fist in the air about to knock, and I hear...
That.
The grunt followed by the and I was like, oh, maybe
I'm just gonna leave him alone.
I think I'll wait.
I never knew you came to the door.
I think I'll just wait until he comes out to talk to him.
Yeah, so Riley woke me up, told me he threw up. I was trying to help him. I was in there. I was cleaning stuff up, right? And I'm bent down, I'm on the floor, my hands and knees, and I just went, oh no, I can't, oh my God. And then I had to run to the bathroom.
Boom, tummy bug.
Yeah, and then I had it. Oh, and it was just a rough 3 weeks. And then, yeah, you were the last one.
Yeah, Reagan ended up getting it too. It was like Riley, you, Reagan. And then it was everybody had just gotten over it. Just gotten over it. Friday, last Friday. The kids get up. I get up, wake everybody up for school. And I remember I think I let Charlie in.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Charlie came over that morning. And it was like right after I let her in, I felt like this shift in my stomach. And I was like, oh no. I don't feel so great. And then I vomited all day.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at work, and I went ahead and talked to my boss, and I was like, hey, I'm probably going to have to go pick my kids up from school today.
You had to take the kids to school for me because I was just, I was just vomiting.
Yeah. And you were here by yourself during your sickness because the kids were at school. By this point, all the kids were back in school, I was back at
Friday
work.
Friday, while I was sick, all the kids were at school. Yeah. During the day.
So what was that like here by yourself? How did that go?
My entire day, it was a cycle. I would vomit and then go back to bed. Okay. I did not leave that space all day, our bedroom and bathroom.
Yeah.
So it started out that morning. I threw up. It kind of, just got started. You took the kids off to school. And then once everybody got gone, that's when I had my first really,
tell us about it.
It was awful. So, I was in bed and all right, I'm going to throw up, get up. I go into our bathroom, leaned over the toilet and I was like, all right, it's happening. And I'm throwing up. And this is it's like the starting of it still. So I still have stuff in there. So it's just going. But I also have it coming out the other end.
Yep. The diarrhea got you.
You know, and I mean, so it happens sometimes, you get sick and it comes out both ways. It happens. And in that moment, you have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And I made the wrong choice. I made the very wrong choice. I paid dearly for it.
So you didn't turn around. You just continued throwing up in the toilet?
So it's about to get way TMI. So if anybody's queasy, I'm telling you, I'm about to, it's going to be gory.
Oh my God, I love being married.
It was so awful. I feel like I need to, it's like a PSA. I have to share. It was traumatic, man. This stomach bug was no joke. So like I said, I still have, I have stuff in there to vomit. So with every good, it's coming out the other way.
Yeah, it's a liquid.
And it is, yeah, it's.
I'm 37 years old. Why is this so funny to me? I should have grown out of this when I was a teenager.
So I will say, I'm so very thankful that at the time,
I was wearing underwear.
I had underwear on. I had underwear on, but I didn't have pants on.
Okay.
And it worked in my favor.
Oh.
So I did have underwear on. So the first time, the first, and I'm like,
well, here we go.
It's there. I mean, it's there now. Nothing I can do about it. Uh-huh. So, but number four, the fourth, and it.
You kept making the wrong decision time after time.
I said, oh no, it's not going to hold.
Tighten the straps, boys. Everything's getting tough. Hold!
We're at capacity and I'm not done vomiting and it's going to keep coming out. So in between.
Does the thought cross your mind like, is this where I die? Is this how they're going to find me?
Oh, in that moment, I remember I was very torn between, oh my gosh, there's nobody here to help me.
Yeah.
But then I was like, thank God nobody else is here to see this.
Yeah. Just in there all by yourself getting down with the sickness.
So by the fourth time, I have to switch gears, and I'm not done, so I have to
around.
Do it in between heaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to very quickly pull my underwear down and switch.
This must be so embarrassing for you.
It was so bad.
I feel so good.
That was so bad. So, I mean, it's...
Oh, God. I'm sweaty.
I grab the trash can and, you know, let it run its course. And when I get done, oh my God, I realized, well, I'm going to have to clean this up because there isn't anybody else here. And it was everywhere. I had liquid poop splattered like from the waist down. Mm-hmm. It was on my legs and my feet. It was all over the toilet, the floor. Oh man. So thank goodness I keep a roll of paper towels and bathroom cleaning supplies in our bathroom under the sink. So I was able to have stuff right there because I was covered in poop, but I was like, I can't wash myself off and then clean, like I need to clean this up and then I'll get in the shower. So I'm trying to clean up this mess while being covered in poop myself. So I'm like, I can't leave this bathroom. So grab the paper towels and, you know, I get everything pre-cleaned up and then get myself washed off. I'm just laughing. I'm laughing hysterically. I'm so sick. I just lost it. From both ends of my body at the same time, all over this bathroom. And I'm standing here covered in my own feces and vomit, and I'm laughing like a crazy person. Yeah. Like, it wasn't so much like the thought of, oh my gosh, is this where I die? It was like, is this where I just go insane? Is this it? Am I going off my rocker? I am sitting here covered in poop, just laughing out loud, hysterically.
What else are you going to do?
I mean, you couldn't do anything.
What else are you going to do?
I'm glad I was in such good spirits because I still had the energy. Because it was after, I just continued to vomit all day after that. Like, oh, that was just the starting. And it ended, like, the grand finale was Friday night. Thank goodness it was just that day. Friday night. Uh-huh. You and the kids were home by then. And I was like, I'm going to go get in the bathtub. You know, I was like, I feel really gross because, like, every time I would get up and vomit, I would sweat. You know, I was
It's hard sweaty. Work.
So then I would be cold, and then I'd go back to bed and go to sleep. And so I felt so gross. So I was like, I'm going to get in the bathtub. And just about the time that I get the water almost to where it's ready to
like, not off, a shower, a bath.
Yeah, bath. Because I was
soak
like,
in the bathtub.
I was really weak by then because I'd been throwing up all day. So I was like, I'm just going to go soak in the bath. Yeah, I get it almost good and filled up. And I was like, oh gosh, here we go again. I had to throw up. Whoa. Smart me, I put the trash can right beside the bathtub. So I grab the trash can and I throw up in it. Whew. Okay, good to go. Set the trash can down. I turn around and just without warning, it just... And I'm vomiting on myself into my own bathwater. And like, I couldn't help it. It just happened. And I'm like, how? How do I have anything left? And then it was just... I sat there for a second, and it was like, it was just pitiful. It was kind of like complete coming full circle from the morning
time. I came upstairs after that happened, and you were already, I guess you had cleaned yourself up, and you got out and got dressed. And
oh, yeah, like, you said, oh, you're done so soon?
I was like, yeah, that was quick. And then you tell me what happened.
I vomited in my own mouth water.
And I immediately go, do you want me to run the water again? You get back in there? And you, with the most defeated look, just go, I'm done.
And I said, I already took a shower today, this morning.
So, now, I had something embarrassing happen to me this week. Nowhere near as gross. So, I think we're pulling out of it now, guys. Yeah, everybody can take a step back. Let's just take a moment together just to go. Because that was rough.
It was awful.
it was rough, for sure. But I got embarrassed, and I actually have a little prop, for this, okay, for this story. And just for you. I haven't been this embarrassed in quite some time. You know you like it. So I bought a cowboy hat.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
You bought
wearable art.
A party hat that resembles a cowboy hat.
Yes.
From Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. And it was only, I think it was $6.
Oh, no. We're not justifying this by how cheap it was.
Oh, no.
You bought this hat because you have been playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah. That's important that it's 2.
For a while now.
Yes.
And I think it's about time to have an intervention.
I have fallen head over heels.
You are sitting here, a grown behind man in the suburbs wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to be fair,
you are about to go out and get in your Toyota Corolla and drive it. And you're sitting there wearing a cowboy hat.
Now, let's be fair. Let's be fair. You tell everybody why I got the cowboy hat.
Because you have a problem.
I do have a problem. Okay. Here's the real story behind the cowboy hat. This is how ridiculous I am. And I know that. And if I know I've said this to you before, but God bless you for putting up with my antics. I know it's not normal. And I get it. I get it. You live with 4 children.
I was
one of them. Just happens to be able to go to
T-ball game last night. We're talking toddlers to like 5 and 6 year old children.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, there are some people back there, and I think we might be blocking their view. Let's scooch our chairs over. Let's be responsible grown-ups." And so I scooch over about 3 feet. And then I sit down, and you're looking at me from 3 feet away in the same spot.
Yeah.
Making it awkward. Because now these people are watching me going, "Hey, move out of their way." And I move, and you sat right there.
I was there first.
So now it's awkward for everybody. So then
you gave me the look.
Very reminiscent of how any one of my 3 children would react if I had asked them the same thing. Then you got up and moved a chair so close to mine that it was overlapping.
You looked at me and you said,
"So then I gave you the look again.
Your arm is on my arm."
And then you
I said, "I wanted to be close to you."
You said, "You never let me have any fun."
Did I say that?
And then I wonder why our 5-year-old is like, "This is the worst day of my life," when I ask him to get dressed in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is why I bought the cowboy hat.
Tell us why you bought the cowboy hat, Bob, please.
Because I know when I used to play video games a whole lot. A whole lot. But then once you have kids, it kind of like, you can't do that anymore. Like I couldn't play games at the rate that I was playing them before I had kids.
The children wouldn't survive.
Yeah. So I switched almost the whole entire type of games that I play. You know, I switched from like long, intense games to like, "Hey, here's something you can play for like 5 minutes.
Well, you can't sit around playing Call of Duty when you get a house full of toddlers.
Right. So like, you know,
look away, kids.
Play like NBA Jam and, you know, just whatever short
Tony
games.
Hawk.
Yeah, Tony, short games. Games that you can do like for a short period of time. Well, this Red Dead Redemption game is long. This is a long game. And I started playing it. Boy, and I don't know what it's like to be hooked on any kind of like hard drug, you know? But when I started playing it, I felt that old feeling coming back. Like, "Oh, this is fantastic. I love this. This is so much fun." Like, and it's a really well-made game. and I think about it a lot. Like, not even when I'm playing it.
You say the first step is admitting.
Yeah, no, no, there's a problem. Yeah, there's a problem. For sure there's a problem. I'm not allowing it.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Now, I'm not allowing it to, like, take over my life, but
I mean, definitely, you did go to Hobby Lobby and buy a cowboy hat.
Definitely, we're going to get there. Definitely, every free moment that I have that I can play that game, I'm playing it. And I think about it a lot. And I know that it's a problem. And I know that you notice. Right? And you're always in the room with me when I play. So I thought to myself, I bet this would, like, she would be like, oh no, if she looked up one night and I was wearing a cowboy hat while I'm playing this game.
Like, if she already thinks I'm way too into this game, what is the way I can push it over the top?
It's 100% how it happened. I didn't go buy that hat because I was so into this game.
It was the equivalent of you moving your chair over and overlapping mine.
Yeah. It wasn't because I want to be a cowboy. It was because I was like, if I wear this hat, she's going to be like, oh no. And then I told you about it. Because I was like, I can't spend $6 on a 15-second joke, right? It was meant to be funny. But then I was like, man, I told her about it. So now would it be funny if I did it anyways? And I said that to you. And then you looked at me and you go, you're going to get a cowboy hat, aren't you? And I was like, probably. So yeah, I have. But this is why I got embarrassed. I don't get scared easily. It takes a lot for me to get scared. Like, the kids try to jump out and scare me all the time. I scare you all the time. I've made it an atmosphere in this house for sure of people trying to startle each other.
Even the cat does it.
Yeah, the cat does it. Yeah, the cat does it. Well, I'm playing this game. You're with me. I got the lights off because it's cinematic looking. And I opened up this new area where it's like a swamp area in this game, and there's freaking alligators. And these alligators will bite the legs of your horse and throw you off, and the horse runs, and you're there on the ground, and there's an alligator, and I'm trying to maneuver through this situation. And I'm in it. I'm focused. I'm 100% in the, I could have been there. I don't see the room we're in anymore. Like, I'm in this game. And an alligator I did not see jumped out and grabbed my player. And the audible noise that came out of me, came out of my face hole.
Oh! That's what it sounds like.
I was...
You jumped?
I jumped. I made a noise.
Your cowboy hat on?
Yeah. And
that cowboy hat didn't bring you an ounce of cowboy bravery. Sitting there jumping from animated alligators.
As soon as I made the noise, I was immediately embarrassed. Because I knew what just happened. That game scared me. It scared me. And it's been a long time since something like got to me that way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no lie, because you were watching. You were watching the game. You saw everything. There was nothing I could make up. Oh, see, what happened was, like, there was nothing. You saw what the alligator did, and you saw me about fall out of the chair trying to get away from this alligator. I moved my real human body to get away from this animated alligator. Yeah. Whew. You see me naked. I don't get embarrassed around you a lot at all, ever. And that time I was. I felt demasculated. Like, I felt weak.
That game got you.
It
got you good.
It got me good. Patreon.com/TheBobAndKatieShow. If you enjoy what you're doing, go to Patreon.com/TheBobAndKatieShow and join our little group for as little as $1. A month. Isn't that a pretty background that I put up here for you?
It is.
I'm going to throw that on Patreon, let everybody see it. We got this, like, I got a monitor up, and it's got our little logo, and it's blue and sparkles, and I made it just pretty just for you. So patreon.com/TheBobAndKatieShow. I've got Got a couple of news stories. The first one being from Andrew. This one's tough. So check this out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, 550.
This is why I put the monitor up. I was like, hey, if I'm going to do news stories, like, why don't I hook this up? And she can actually see the stuff with me. So, yeah.
He might need to have a talk with Nick Cannon, though.
Nick Cannon?
I'd be like, dude.
He's smoking Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon got nothing on this dude. The BBC put a report out. There is a sperm donor who apparently has fathered 550 children, and the court had to get involved and be like, hey, man, you got to stop. Like, no more. No more donating sperm. Like,
so what was the reason, though? Is it because, so without, I don't even want to read it yet.
Okay.
I want to hypothesize. Was it because, was it all in, like, within the same geographical location, like, within the same country?
Very close. Town.
Oh, yeah. So you can't have 550 people all for the same in the same town. Yeah. You're going to, it's fine if they all grow up and move away to get new part. But inbreeding, I guess, is what, is that the issue? Like, they don't want.
Oh, wait, no, he spread it out. Okay, he spread it out. So he was banned from donating to fraternity clinics in the Netherlands in 2017 after it emerged that he had fathered more than 100 children.
What? So how did he get up to 550? But instead of stopping, okay.
He carried out donating abroad and online. I don't know that you and I didn't cover this story when it first emerged. I feel like we might have talked about this.
We may have.
So this dude jumped from 100 to 550. Isn't that wild?
Hang on. Go back up.
Okay.
Okay. The court.
You got to read it out loud if you can read it.
They ordered them to destroy his sperm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you got to burn this stuff. This is crazy.
Okay. It said he had misled hundreds. See that? Okay.
There we go.
What was he misleading about?
So, the Dutch clinical guideline states that the donor should not father more than 25 children in 12 families. So, I think
they're asked to limit the number of times they offer their services to reduce the chance of siblings might unknowingly
meet,
form a couple, and have children. See, that's what I was talking about. Like, they were scared about, like, the genetics.
So, he hit the 25 number and then just kept telling people he hadn't hit it yet. That's where he was.
Okay.
That's what he's doing. So, five. We have three kids. We have three, and I'm like, this is too much. We did too many. Can you believe that?
Oh, sorry. That's...
Oh, and they all found out about it. Like, all these people know that they've got, like, hundreds of brothers and sisters.
Well, I mean, I guess that's good that they know, though, because wouldn't you rather want to know? And then, you know, maybe... I guess maybe they can get tested or something if there's any uncertainty.
Yeah.
Like, if that's on your radar before you accidentally marry your half sibling and, like, have children together.
Ooh,
oh my gosh.
It's tough. So here's a new story. This happened in Wisconsin, I think. Let's verify that. Cleveland, not even close.
Okay, I want to say I've read this one. Oh yeah, that's back from 2022.
Cleveland, Ohio. a house got foreclosed on and someone bought it. And then they found the owner in the basement decomposing. So,
like, did nobody check?
I'm assuming, like,
the
person passed away and then stopped making payments.
Yeah, I'm saying in all that, like, the whole process of it changing hands.
Yeah, nobody found that.
Nobody actually physically did, like, an inspection of the house. No relatives went in the house to...
Yeah.
Like, just nothing. Isn't nothing.
That wild?
That's crazy.
So you buy a house and you're like, okay, cool. Let's go remodel the basement. And like, you go in the basement and find the owner. Like, the stuff that you're talking, nobody found it before this person.
That's what I'm saying. That blows my mind that you can have, I'm assuming was it an elderly person that lived there before?
71 years 70, old.
But that's Nina not Feldman. That old. Did she not have family?
I don't know. So, and wild.
Wild. Like, nobody realized she was missing. Nobody knew what happened to her. Nobody was like, let's check the house. Like, the police were like, let's check the house. This person's missed. The bank was just
Nina?
Like,
anybody seen Nina?
They were just like, well, Nina ain't paid her bill. We're selling off her house, whether she likes it or not. Yeah. I don't give a crap where she's at.
Does she not have a car? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, how did it get that far as to new owners purchasing this property? And I thought most of the time, like, when you buy a house, you have it inspected and, like, there's just all this stuff.
None of it happened. None of that happened.
I've bought a house. It was not an easy thing. I don't know how this dead woman's house was sold out from under her dead body,
basically. It wasn't sold out from under her. It was sold while she was under it.
Oh.
Yeah. So look at this winner right here. A man applied to work at a police department, and part of that is you have to get hooked up to a lie detector, and they ask you questions because they're trying to vet and make sure
that's part of the interview process.
Yeah, like,
oh, that's intense.
So they asked this man, you know, about child pornography. Like, that's one of the questions.
What position was he applying for? Like, to be
just a police officer.
To be a police officer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not to be like a janitor at the police department.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And the way the story reads is that he gets arrested. He gets arrested because he admits to a crime on the polygraph test while he's applying to be a police officer. So I'm like, oh my God, what did this idiot say? And I start reading it, and what he told them, he goes, yeah, I have a video of my ex-girlfriend from when we were both like 16. And like, he was 18 during the interview. So then I'm, for a second, I'm like, that kind of sucks. Right? That kind of sucks. He got in trouble for that. Like, he shouldn't have the video, but like, you can kind of understand, like,
it's a different situation than like a 6-year-old man having a video of a like 5-year-old.
So then brain
doesn't make it okay.
My brain sort of goes, man, I kind of feel bad for him. But then he continues.
Oh gosh.
And he's like, yeah. And then I also go to this website where people just trade pictures back and forth.
Oh, okay. All right, dude.
I was trying
to give you the benefit of the doubt.
By the time they're done, they have a search warrant at this dude's house, and he's got a hard drive filled with like thousands of photos.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, what are you doing? You're breaking laws that will put you in jail.
And he's a police officer?
And no, he's not. He's trying to become one. He's trying to become one. So I got a buddy who is currently – this is something new that I didn't know happened. It might not be new.
They didn't cover that in police officer school? Like,
I don't think he went to police officer school. I think he was trying to get in.
I thought he was trying to get a job.
Yeah, he's getting interviewed to like probably get into the school, or I don't know. He's trying to become a cop. He's trying to get into the program.
Okay.
And this happened. But I've got a buddy who's trying to become a state trooper, and he applied and he got interviewed, and it's very promising, right? Like, oh, you're probably going to become a state trooper. Good job. Mm-hmm. And then he finds out one of the things that has to happen, and they give you like hardly no notice, is we're coming to search your house. Yeah. So they went to his house and like searched his house to make sure he's a decent person. But I tell you what, I've never applied for a job that they were like, let me come look at your house.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that great? What a piece of garbage this guy is. What a piece of garbage. This is a fun one. Georgia, and this was from April of 2023. There's a man that puts like a wrap around his head, and that's all he wears. He's just butt naked, and he's breaking into people's house at night. He's not really stealing anything. He's not hurting anybody. He's not breaking anything. He walks up and checks. He walks up and checks the door to see if it's unlocked. And if it's unlocked, he opens it and just walks around. He's just going into people's house at night, just walking around naked.
He's like That's like a, that's thrill seeking.
Yeah. There's yeah,
some
that's
some weird strange degree.
There's a there's a fuse broken.
That is he's trying to get his jollies. And that's I mean, thank God he's not hurting anybody.
He's not hurting anybody.
But that's
he's not I mean, you know, physically, he's not hurting anybody physically.
Put your clothes on.
Could you imagine for the people that didn't know what happened? Because that's a thing too. Like there's been, he's been in people's house that didn't know.
You see on your Ring camera some naked man walking out of your house.
You wake up in your bed and you're like, oh, I had something on my ring last night. He was in the house. He was in the house. Man, there are.
The next question, why is he naked?
There's been a lot of stories leaked where people are naked on ring cams. Like it's nuts. There's a lot of strange people in the world.
I mean, some people just like being naked.
Yeah, yeah. And the news will take some of this stuff sometimes. This is aggravating to me. And they'll make it seem like, oh, this is a terrible place to live because of all these things that happen there. And that might be the case. You know, like if you go to New York, there's a lot of crazy things that happen in New York. But I feel like it's the same as when, like I've brought this up before, when the news is like, oh, 90% of the shark bites happen in shallow water. Yeah, because that's where we're swimming, right? The stuff that happens in New York doesn't happen where we live at the same rate because we don't have such a large population in a little itty bitty area.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to a place like New York and you're talking millions and millions of people just like on top of each other. Some of them are going to be crazy and then you're going to see it. And then when you have that kind of population, you got a bunch of different rules that we don't have here. Like you can't go to the bathroom in places. There's so many people that companies just, you got to be in there shopping and spending money to use the bathroom because things are just getting dirty all the time. Mm-hmm. So people are just using the bathroom in the street. Like it's a terrible, terrible thing. But yeah, this dude, this is in Meter, Georgia. Dude just took his clothes off. It's like, I'm going to walk around. Let that person exist in the world. All right, last one. This is great. Yeah, that's a headline. WECT, this is local news. Didn't happen here.
So it's not local news.
They do that a lot. Like our news puts out a lot of things from other parts of the world that seem like it's not super high ranking news, but they don't have anything. Nothing happens here. Customer shoots KFC employee because they ran out of corn. There has been so many stories recently of people just losing their minds in fast food restaurants.
That's
what our children are growing up in, right? He shot him.
In the drive-thru?
Yeah. 6:30 p.m. on Monday. The man was in his 40s or 50s. You've been here for a while. You've been living on Earth for a long time. You know how it works. Sometimes places run out of corn. What are we doing? Police said the customer...
Oh, yeah, at KFC, they got plenty of other delicious sides. It's not like they ran out of chicken.
That happened. Do you remember when that happened to us?
I mean, you just get chicken somewhere else.
We went to...
Unless it's Sunday and you're trying to go to Chick-fil-A. You can't get chicken there.
We went to KFC in Leland. And it was pretty new, I think, when we went. Yeah, and we rolled through and we're like, hey, we want to get this. And they were like, oh, we're out of chicken. Well, what do you guys have? And she told us, like, oh, we got like macaroni and mashed potatoes.
We
and,
have sides.
Like, why are y'all open? Like, that's nuts. I'm glad the... The 3-week stint is over and we're back to somewhat of a normal life.
Oh God, me too.
Somewhat normal. I'm glad that you took part in it with me. That would have been terrible as like a single parent. Oh. Cause you already have it bad enough because I'm just gone so much. But yeah, that was a rough 3 weeks. I'm glad it's over.
I couldn't have functioned Friday. I could not have picked them up. I couldn't do it.
Tough. Tough. I have one last thing for you. Very lighthearted stuff. I know that we had a lot of crazy things. So I found a video, and the audio is what's more important than the video, that I think you will really like. It is a woman asking her 16-year-old daughter about things from the 90s.
Oh, goodness.
So here we go.
90s. What are the Yellow Pages?
No idea.
What is a card catalog?
Isn't it like a thing in the mail and it has like cards in it?
No.
It has like tickets that you can take to the store and stuff.
What does it mean to burn a CD?
Oh, I've heard this before. I have no idea.
What is a collect call?
Oh, it's like a call. It's like a voicemail, right?
What is Sega?
Sega?
Sonic? What is dial-up?
I don't know. What is it?
If I was to say, be kind, rewind, what do you think that would mean in the 90s?
The tape?
The tape?
Yeah, oh, she got tape. One.
Like a mixtape.
Like a mixtape?
Like from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I know.
She was so close.
You're talking like a cassette?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the music thing.
Anything else?
Like a VSH.
A VSH?
VSH.
I don't know what it is.
What is Blockbuster?
Oh, it's the thing where you rent, like, the DVDs and, like, that thingy, the VSH tapes, thingies, music, videos, home videos.
Home videos?
Good job.
Bless her little heart.
Oh, isn't it freaking wild
how
much the world has changed since we've been kids?
I mean, try to imagine for our kids, they don't know a world without internet.
Yeah.
So they look at us and they're like, you didn't have internet?
Every now and then.
So everything we do on the internet, our lives revolve around it. You didn't have that?
Yeah.
Like they think we lived like cave people.
They,
in their minds, we did. We lived like cavemen.
I see it on their face sometimes when they have the realization like, oh, you guys didn't have tablets?
You couldn't call each other if one of you went to the grocery store?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew. What did husbands do?
We didn't get the right stuff. When we went to the grocery store, we didn't go to the grocery store. Women always went to the grocery store because of that. I want to make that statement. That's my theory. Men didn't go to the grocery store because we would mess it up. Because
does that
there's
make
not
you feel
been...
bad for men like back in the day? Like they didn't have no cell phone to call their wives. They had no text message with
a
picture of the product.
It sounds fantastic.
They just consistently came home with the wrong
thing. They didn't go. Women did not send men to the grocery store because they would get it wrong.
Or that.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what happened. Like, dad would come home from work. If you got one car, dad come home from work, mom take the car to the grocery store. That's where we were.
And if, as a kid, if you got to go to the grocery store.
It was amazing.
Oh, I get to go? Maybe I'll get a pack of gum.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get some candy.
Yeah.
That was my thought. I'll be real good. And then when we get to the checkout, all them impulse items, I'll be like, Mama, please.
Not our kids.
Our kids are like, oh, do we
have to go?
Can
somebody stay home so we don't have to go? And I remember you and I were sitting around like, what is the deal? Like, that didn't happen to us. We always wanted to go. And then we realized like, oh, we didn't have anything at our house.
Look at all this fun stuff they have.
Like, I wouldn't want to. They don't want to leave. They don't want to leave. This is way better than sitting in the car walking to a store.
They're so
spoiled, rotten little kids.
If they have to ride in the car for 15 minutes and don't have an electronic device to keep them entertained, oh, Lord have mercy. They've never been so bored in all their lives.
I'm going to die.
They're going to keel over from boredom. They're like, well, what am I supposed to do? Just be bored. Do you remember, like, you would count the color of cars or play different games in the car?
Take a nap.
You did that. You listened to music. I mean, we survived many a car trip to the grocery store without a tablet full of 1,000 things to watch.
We barely had gas. We was low on gas, no phone. We was going to the store with hopes and dreams, and we loved it. We loved it.
No AC.
No.
You had to roll the windows down.
Yeah. Parents had the Marlboros hanging out their mouths, cigarette smoke all in the car. Man. And then they'd flick it, and the ashes would come in the window and hit you in the face. Seat. Yeah, you ever swallowed some cigarette ash? Yeah, that's the thing that's happened in my life plenty of times growing up.
I remember as a kid several different times of, you know, like my parents, I remember one day my mom was sitting on the front porch And she was talking, and us kids, we're playing out in the yard, and we're running all around her. And she's sitting there smoking a cigarette, and I ran right into her cigarette, and I burned myself.
It's terrible.
And it happened more than once whenever I was a kid. But I look at our kids now and how they just hover. They hover in your orbit wherever you are. And, you know, for people who smoke cigarettes, I imagine, you know, especially back then, the whole thing about secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, if you had asked my parents in the 80s about secondhand smoke, they're probably like, what is that?
Well, your grandpa would smoke in the truck and crack the
grandpa,
windows, right?
Grandpa, we can't breathe. Can you roll the window down? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Just chain smoking with the windows of the car up.
And, like, he wasn't intentionally trying to drown us in his smoke. He was just like, forgot.
In today's world, if somebody got video of that,
Oh my gosh.
Your grandpa would got canceled. He'd been canceled.
Somebody be driving along and like filming him. He'd be on YouTube and somebody'd show up at our house arresting him for child neglect or something like that. Oh, sorry, let me crack the window. Oh.
Man. All right, there we go. Trip down memory lane. That's fantastic. Everybody, thanks for listening. Please. Share the episode if you enjoyed it. Like, subscribe, do all those things. You know how it is. But most importantly,
wash your hands.
Find your laugh.
Find your happy.
You've been listening to the Bob and Katie Show, a Crabcast Studio production. Edited and produced by my dad, Bob. Executive produced by my mom, Katie. Support the show by going to patreon.com/ the Bob and Katie Show. Don't forget to subscribe
and smash that like button.